Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, just three verses. Many parts, one body. Okay, many parts, one body. Let's stand, all right, as we just read these three verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. Let's read together all the three verses. Ready? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to number 14. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you as your people, as one man, as one body of Christ, we are thankful that you have called us by your grace. We are thankful, Lord, that in Acts chapter 20, you said that you gave your blood for the church. You died for the church. That you bought the church with your blood. Lord, we are thankful for the things that you are doing and also have done, Lord, and will be doing in our life, as Paul learned on Sunday's message, talking about how, Lord, you have delivered Paul in the past. You are delivering him now, and he trusts that you will deliver him in the future as well. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful God, and that, Lord, your word will never change. And so tonight, as we explore these three verses before we take the Lord's Supper, Father, I'm asking you to teach us what it means to be many parts, one body, and that, Father, your name will be honored even in this study. We pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open to your precious word, and our feet will be quick to obey what the things that you have us to do. Pray for those who are still on their way. Bring them quickly, Lord. They may not miss the riches of your word. Lord, I'm just a servant, but it is your Holy Spirit that will teach us. So speak to us in a special way. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's be seated. Okay, I'll just be going through the meaning of this three verse, and then after that, three lessons, and then after, if there's any questions in between, you're welcome to stop me and ask, okay? So Paul, in this particular chapter, actually talks about the background is he was dealing with the whole area of spiritual gifts. Okay, looking at verse 1 very quickly. Now concerning the spirituals, the gift is actually in italics. It's not actually in the original. But he was talking about the whole area of spiritual gifting. And more than that, the Corinthians thought that having spiritual gifts is equal to spirituality. Okay, the Corinthians thought that, oh, I've got so many spiritual gifts, therefore I'm very spiritual. God says no. So what if you have a lot of spiritual gifts? In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul actually says that Corinthians come behind in no gift. In other words, they have all the gifts that God has given to the church. But we know from our study that the Corinthian church is a carnal church, a church that's given to the flesh. Okay, so Paul was talking about that, but he was more concerned that the people within the Corinthian church were not caring and loving for one another as they should. And so he gives verse 12, verse 13 and verse 14 as more some like a doctrinal study of the whole area of the spiritual oneness of the local church. Okay, so in verse 12, the Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body. You know, when I read this, I thought like Paul is just repeating himself again and again, right? Okay, but afterwards I'll highlight the fact that there is actually very clear reasons why he did that. But I'll just go through it first. As a body, okay, our body, the whole body, I just use the illustration of my body, okay? As a body is one, I'm one body, okay? One body, have many members, okay? The many members include the eyes, and the nose. Okay, let's be seated. Okay, there are some of the notes over there. Okay. Okay, so one body. Is there extras? Well, Sir Gemma. Okay. So the one body. Okay, one body. But I have one body, but it's made of many members. Okay, I have the eyes and the eyebrow and the ears. okay, and the hands and the body and any other parts of my body can you name? Okay, children, can you name some parts of my body? Huh? The legs? Okay, what else? Quick. Sorry? Forehead, okay, forehead. Oh, forehead. Okay, what else? Huh? Okay, decipher. Shout. Huh? Ears, okay, what else? Eyes, what else? Nose, what else? Mouth, what else? Spectacles, not part of the body, lah. Tongue, I'm getting inner already. What else? Teeth, okay, what else? Throat, okay, what else? Okay, now give this another shot. What do you find in the body? Liver, yeah, liver is part of the body. What else? Stomach, yeah, okay, what else? What else part of the body? Many parts, that's right. Okay, how many muscles do you have? How many bones do you have in your body? ACE people, how many bones do you have in your body? 206, okay, you actually start off with 230, some of the bones fuse together, okay, you count 206, okay, how many muscles are there in your hand? Okay, I'll give you this one, how many hairs are there in your nostrils? You know how many hairs are there in your nostrils? Anyone? 20,000, okay. 20,000, can you imagine 20,000 hairs fitting right inside there? Of course, it's a micro one, small one. You know the purpose of hairs in the nostril is to what? Form green balls, right? Okay. Well, you know, Paul says one body, but there are many parts of that body, okay? So Paul actually within here, he says, verse 12, for as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for those who just come in, as the body is one, had many members, that's a reality, that's the truth. And all the members of that one body, although there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. He actually talks about Christ being one body. The word Christ there has the idea, yes, it's our Savior, but he's actually describing the body of Christ as one. Okay? How are we one in Christ, okay? In verse 12, Paul highlights, I'll just give you another point under there. He talks about unity in diversity. Although we're all different, there's unity in this diversity. As a body is one by many individual members, how are we one in Christ? Look at verse 13. How did God make us one in Christ? The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. How are we made one in Christ? The Bible says here, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's right here. For by one Spirit are we baptized. This baptism is a baptism that all believers receive at the moment of salvation. We are all baptized into this one body of Christ. Okay, that is why we do have Christians, perhaps who are from other churches, that we can actually call them brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, there's a water baptism, which is not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about spirit baptism, whereby we are not baptized into the Holy Spirit. Nah? The verse doesn't say that. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. Does it make sense? Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay? How do we get in Christ? When we hear the word, and we get saved, the Holy Spirit regenerates us and puts us into Christ. That's salvation. Does it make sense? So by that Spirit, we are baptized into one body. Okay? So because we're all in the same family, we're all born again. All right, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Okay, so by salvation, we are added to what we call this family of God. But the body of Christ literally, okay, some people get confused. Right, Johnny, that means what? There's a universal body that all believers. The definition of a church in the Bible, ecclesia, is a locally called out assembly. Okay? Which you can see. It's visible. When Jesus says, I will build my church, he was using a local term, ecclesia, that the common Greek people understood during those days. Okay? And when he talked about ecclesia, it never meant a universal invisible body, but it actually meant a group of people that you can physically see that has been appointed to do some project for the city. Okay? Jesus then said, I will build my group of physical, visible body that will carry out my work. Does it make sense? Can you see that? So, when this body, there's going to be one time when all the Christians will actually be in one body at one place at one time. When will that be? When would that be? Right now, yep, we're only in heaven. Okay, the bride of Christ in heaven, one place, and we're all together as one bride, one body of Christ in heaven. But right now, what we have are local churches. Okay, in the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul is actually talking about local bodies that we can see. Okay, so now, some characteristics of this body that he mentioned, he says, in the context of this passage, he's talking about the Holy Spirit baptizing us, just one thing. It is regardless of our backgrounds, okay? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, whether we be Filipinos or Chinese, whether we be Indians or Eurasians, okay? As far as God is concerned, Paul had to highlight that to the Corinthian church because prejudice and race was a big thing in the first century. Okay, slaves were considered second class. Slaves were actually considered what you call commodities. Okay, I think some of you may study in the history. They can just, if they don't like the slave, they can just kill it. They can just get rid of them, sell them, or whatever they want. It's like a product, slaves in those days. So, Bible Christianity, Paul actually teaches, whether you are a slave or whether you are free, whether you are a Jew or whether you are a Gentile, you are all one. Well, that was a very, very big mind shift for a lot of people, because during that time, there was this strong prejudice. Paul says, when you have trusted Christ, you are one. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what is your economic status. It doesn't matter if you have $1 billion. It doesn't matter if you are the poorest man on earth. When you have trusted Christ, you are all one. Notice the last part of verse 13. And have been made to drink into that one spirit. The word drinking into that one spirit means you have all had the same experience of salvation. You have all been made to participate in the Holy Spirit's baptism into the body of Christ. So Paul is laying the foundation and said, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what race you are in, as long as you have trusted Christ, you are one. Does it make sense? Okay? That was what the Apostle Paul was trying to drive at here. All right? In verse 14, and Paul seems to be that he kind of repeats himself again. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay? He repeats that again. Very quickly, three lessons from this. Number one, if you have your notes, is we are many parts of the same body. No, right, Johnny, just basically talking again and again. Okay, first lesson, we are many parts of the same body. Each part is important. Otherwise, the body cannot function. Okay, some of you are having headaches now. Well, anyone having headache now? One? Anyone else? Two? I know you're trying hard to function, but you can feel that throbbing. Okay, you have a headache? You have backache? Got headache, backache, toothache, stomachache, what aches you have? All right. Or one part of the body, if it doesn't function properly, we know about it, and we cannot function properly. Agree? Okay? So, Paul actually highlights this as a very important point. Look at verse 15 and 16. He uses different parts there, 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because sometimes we say, well, I'm not so important. So I had one friend, I can't remember his name. I was new in the church in Emmanuel Baptist a long time ago. So they actually have tracting groups. So after service, they actually have lunch. Then after, they had to go tracting in groups. So then one day, we actually have a new member that came. Then he decided to join this our tracting group. And then our tracting leader just asked, how come you want to join us? He said, and his answer was this, I can never forget. He says, because in the other group, I'm not so famous. Maybe he didn't come up properly. But probably he wasn't as noticed in the other group as he will be in this group. All right, he wasn't very noticed in this group too. So, but it's just kind of his way of expressing himself. You know, sometimes certain members feel that, oh, I'm not so important, so I might as well don't go to church. Paul says, just because you think that, does it mean you're not part of the church? Now, I was just. Up to now, you heard my voice, so my mouth is moving. You heard a bit of my hand. Which part of the body is not moving, actually? Actually, all parts of the body moving. But do you realize that how many of you actually give a lot of attention to your kidneys? How many of you give a lot of attention to your kidneys? Or how many of you give a... How many of you give a lot of attention to your toenails? Or some, wrong. or your ankle bones. Okay. Or some part of the body that you seldom refer to use. You know what Paul is saying? Just because it is not as obvious, is it therefore not the body? Many church members, I'm not saying we all, but many church people tend to think, oh, I'm just a small fry, I cannot do much, therefore, I'm not so important. You know, there's one thing that I've always heard. You know what? If they will actually tell me, Pastor, if I don't come to church, no one will miss me. Want to bet? Sorry, we shouldn't be betting. Okay? But if you don't come to church, no one will miss me. That is not a biblical statement. Okay? Paul says, just because we say that, are you therefore not the body? No. No. The answer is no. Okay? What Paul is saying, every part is important. Okay? And if the, verse 16, if the ear shall he say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Not the foot and the ear, I think I mentioned before. The foot, some people seldom pay a lot of attention to your foot. I don't come, hey, how's your foot doing? You know, I don't pay a lot of attention to your foot. But the hand and the eyes are something that people see all the time. So Paul is highlighting the fact that some people feel just because they are not so prominent, they are not important. That's not what Paul is saying, okay? Paul doesn't want us to think like that. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And if they were all one member, where would the body? Can you imagine if everyone wants to be the eye? Can you imagine? Every one of us wants to be the eye. I want you to picture, close your eyes and imagine in one big eyeball and two legs. Can you imagine that? One big eyeball and two legs. Okay? And I think you can find that in Google Images or whatever. Some really crazy one. You know, I remember my pastor actually said that, you know what, if everyone wants to be the eye, the church will become a monster. Okay? And monsters always fight with one another. Okay? Can you imagine? So Paul is saying, look, if all were one member, then where would the body? Okay? The point is, if we want prominence, what would the church become? The church would just become one gigantic eye, which is a monstrosity. It's a monster. All right? Okay? Look at verse 21. Verse 21. The Bible says in verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. It's interesting because in the church camp last year, we actually had a situation where we had a game whereby someone is the eye, and someone is the hand, and someone is the feet. if the eye don't communicate with the hand or the feet, let's say if the body is hungry, if the stomach is hungry, okay, do you realize if you are hungry, a lot of things had to happen? Okay, what happens? Your brain, do you know that the stomach is connected with the head? That if you are hungry, there are some centers who say, I'm hungry now. Many times we eat not because we are really hungry. It's because our brain tells us it's time to eat. Do you know that? Okay? And so the timing, our body is programmed to eat. Then after that, the head will then start to plan, okay, do you have enough money? Where can you go and buy food? Oh, I only have $2, so I must go economic rice or something like that. No, I have $10, so I can go to Aston or something. You start to plan different things, okay? And then after that, you have to tell your feet, okay, start moving, okay? And after that, maybe it's maybe 3 bus stops away. You got to plan, okay, do I have my EZ-Link card? Do you realize different parts of the body actually have to do different things in order to get you there? That is what the Apostle Paul is actually talking about. Point number two, we are one body, but many parts, and we need one another. Paul is actually highlighting this very strongly in the Corinthian church. Okay, in verse 20 and 21, now are there many members, yet but one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Paul actually made it very clear, you cannot say to one another, you cannot say to one another, I don't need you. I cannot say to Jeremiah, I cannot say to Timothy, I cannot say to Sarson, I don't need you. I cannot say that. You know, I cannot say, you cannot say, I don't need Sister Shaoling, I don't need, you cannot say, do you realize you cannot say that? That's what Paul is saying, that it comes to a point that Paul actually had to tell the Corinthian church, because they were so divided, that Paul said, you guys need one another to survive. Just like a body needs one another to survive. I use the illustration of Brother Terry, you know. The CAT scan shows one big part missing, or rather there's a big tumor blocking. Do you realize because of one, probably 5 centimeters square in the head, his life is shortened? Just because of that, he cannot communicate. Do you know how many millions of nerve go through nerve connection pathway, just go through that small thing to the point that he cannot actually answer you properly now. He cannot remember things in the past. He cannot remember things which is normal to him just because of that part being attacked by a tumor. You know what Paul says? Ambassador, listen to this. God's word says, we cannot say we don't need one another. We cannot say that. That's what Paul says. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. As much as each part is very important, Paul says we must realize we're all on the same team, the same body of Christ. As the body of Christ, we cannot function independently. I say again, as different parts of the body, we cannot function independently. We must function interdependently. That is what Paul says. If the church is to be effective for God, we must have this mindset. I'm important to God. My ministry is important. But God says, I'm going to die if I try to function independently. I need to be interdependent to the other parts of the ministry. I'm part and parcel of everyone. Okay? When I was in Australia, I'll give you an illustration of this. When I was in Australia, I had this car. It's Toyota Corolla. Do you know how much is it when I bought it? $2,500. Okay? It was a 1979 model. I was driving it. I had this Chinese guy. He's a mechanic. So we, all the Singaporean students, always go to him when we have. And he tries to give us, sometimes he gives us free service, you know, and just things which he can just give a free service. Okay? So there was one time my wheel actually, I had to change my wheel. Okay? Not the wheel. So after his workshop to my place is about 15 minutes. So after I was driving home, I started to feel a bit wobbly. Not me wobbly, but the car started to feel a bit wobbly. Then I actually came out as I parked at my place and came out to look at the tire. He didn't fasten all my nuts of the wheel. In other words, he put the wheel there, But he didn't fasten, you know, you put the nuts, the nut, you know, the wheels, right? He didn't actually fasten all of them. I said, "Oi," he's speaking Cantonese. You know, he gave me an accident and all that, you know. So I went back there. I said, "Yeah, sorry, sorry." So he actually tightened that for me. Okay? The car still looked good, the engine is still working, but because the nuts were not tightened, it was not in the right place. You know, the whole body can potentially crash. Does it make sense? I hope we will remember this for the rest of our life. The local church is God's institution, and God ensured that He added people in. And when one person is missing from there, it hurts the entire body. Okay? Joseph, can you come here? Okay, can you give me your finger? Look at them. Give me your finger. Okay, let's say if I were to cut this finger away, do you think he'll feel it? You think he'll feel it? Yes, right. Okay, but I won't do that. Okay, but it's just a finger. You got 9 more. We cannot say that. Does it make sense? You know, Paul is, well, you know what God is trying to tell us, I believe, from this passage? Everyone is absolutely important in your local church. No one can go AWOL, go missing, without actually hurting the rest of the body. Okay? That's what Paul is trying to impress on us. We are many parts of the same body, individual parts, and everyone is important. But we are one body because that these many parts have to understand, because you're not individual, you're actually part of this whole body. Alright? And point number 3, we are all united by the Spirit of God. We are all united by the Spirit of God. And you know, as I was thinking through this, the Bible says in verse 13 that we are all by one Spirit are made to drink into that Spirit, the last part of verse 13. Just follow along this trend of thinking. Because of our pride in our personality, okay, we'll talk about personality over the last few weeks. Because of pride in our personalities, we want to be individuals, we want to stand out, we want to be independent. Okay, many people in Australia, after about 16 years old, they just want to move out, they don't want to stay with their parents, they want to be independent. I want freedom. Okay? And in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14, I'll just read, okay? For time, I'll just read. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Lucifer, whose new name is Satan, said, I will, I am supposed to be the shining star, I want. But because of the pride in his heart, God actually had to kick him out of heaven. And you know what? Even right now, people who have a proud spirit is just imitating what Satan has just done. And many proud people just want to be by themselves, and in their personality, they may like that, but you know what? If you're genuinely a Christian, God actually says, no, I've united you with someone else. I've united you in the church by my Holy Spirit. Do you realize unity, genuine unity? I'll just read what I have here. "But after we are saved and immersed, the Holy Spirit of God, having saved us and placed us in Christ, now extends that unity when we are added to the local church. We are united by the Spirit of God, and we are one in Christ. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no Filipino or Chinese. There is no born or free, but we are all one in Christ. This unity in our hearts as one people of God can only be possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only God can unite us." And you know what? Only God can help us look at one another and say, "You're my brother, you're my sister." And mean it. Okay, you know, sometimes you've got friends, or maybe those neighborhood friends, "Hey, brother," you know, they call you bro or whatever. But actually, there's no connection. It's just a way of addressing one another. But you know, as Christians, we can literally look at someone and say, "You're my brother," and mean it. Amen? By the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. We're going to be finishing soon. Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. I'll just read. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Two things we learn from this verse. Number one, in verse 2, the attitudes of unity. Attitudes of unity. What are the attitudes of unity? Number one, long-suffering. With all lowliness and meekness, right? Long-suffering, lowliness has the idea of humility. Meekness, the word meekness has to do with power under control. In other words, Moses was meek. Moses could do things to people through the power of God, but he chose not to fight back. Meekness, forbearing one another, has to do with tolerance, with the condition of unconditional love. In other words, my attitude towards one another is meekness, is I'm patient with the person, and I will tolerate the person because I love that person. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay? And number three, the action of unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, Paul says here, the unity of the Spirit has already been given. And so the endeavoring is, the action we need to do is do all we can to keep the unity that we already have. All right, I think I mentioned this before, like when we're all born into the same family, the unity is already there. But you know, pride and selfishness breaks up that unity. Okay? What Paul is saying, let's keep that unity, do all we can. Endeavor, putting all effort to preserve, to guard the unity that the Holy Spirit has already given to us. Okay? Some closing thoughts, three things. Number one, recognize our important part of the body of, or in the body of Christ. If we are members of Ambassador, you're an important part. It's so important that you don't realize. You know, sometimes we don't realize how important we are to the body of Christ. That if you're not there, we're supposed to be, something is wrong. Okay, number one. Number two, recognize that God has a plan for you, an ambassador. Okay, whether you are just been baptized, whether you are a teenager, whether you are an adult, God has a plan for you, an ambassador. Otherwise, God wouldn't have brought you here. And we need to be clear what that plan is. And fit where we're supposed to fit. Okay? Point number three. By God's grace, and find that area and fulfill that plan. How should we fulfill that plan? In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. I'll just quickly read there. I'll just read. Now they were in the church, there was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that were called Niger, the Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In our final closing just now, I mentioned three things. Recognize our important part. Recognize God has a plan. And by God's grace, find the plan that God has for us. So how do we do that? In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, Paul and the group was busy ministering to the Lord, serving Him. And then God called Paul and Barnabas. The principle is this. Brother Johnny, how do I find that area that I'm supposed to serve in? You know what you need to do? The biblical pattern is, God only calls those who are busy for Him. God only calls those who are busy for Him. And I want us to understand this. God calls those who are busy for Him. Because when we are involved, God can move us. Okay? And that's something very, very important. You will find that many of the prophets, many of the people were already doing some things, and then God shifts them to where He wants us, them to go. Similarly for us, some Christians believe in waiting on the Lord. And I believe it's an important thing. But you know what? When we wait on the Lord for what God wants us to do, recognize that unless we are actively taking steps of faith, we will never find what God wants us to do. We have to take steps of faith, all right, to do what God wants us to do, okay? So any questions there? Just 3 points. We are many parts, but the same body. We are one body, but we are many parts and we need one another, and we are united by the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that will pair us together. I can tell you nothing else. If we want something else from someone else, that will never hold us together. So only when we pray for one another, the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring us and bind us closely together. All right? Any questions before we close? Okay, now let's have a word of prayer. Then after that, we will actually go on to have the business meeting. Okay? So before we do the Lord's Supper. All right? Can I say a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do now. We ask you to be in our midst as we... Lord, we thank you for your word first. Lord, we are thankful that you have made us one. Lord, we thank you for everyone that is here. And Lord, truly there is a purpose. We don't know that purpose fully yet, except to know that God, you have put us in the north for a reason. To be a support to some Christians, to be a light to many. And that, Father, there are still parents calling us up to want to come. And the opportunity that we can be a blessing to many, many people that we go out and minister to. Father, it's amazing what you're doing. You're preparing a new place for us. The men are involved in digic training. The tracking groups are still going out. There are still opportunities, Lord. Father, I'm thankful that, we are thankful that you are finding us faithful in the areas that we need to be involved in. But God, teach us this. Lord, help us not just to do things, but help us to know why we're doing that. And even as thy word teach us right now, Lord, we are part and parcel of one another's life, spiritually speaking. The God, you, through your precious blood, have saved us and put us together in one place to serve you in this place. We thank you for the new additions. We ask you to bless them and Lord, to engraft them. The Father, there will be no man left behind. The Lord will all be one moving forward for your honor and glory. Lord, teach us, oh, teach us to be one in Christ. Lord, we live in a cold world, a world that is filled with suspicion and even sometimes, Lord, lack of love. But yet, thy word teaches us that the church of Jesus Christ must be identified by the badge of love, genuine, unconditional love of God. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray that you would, the love of Christ would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That, Father, we will be truly able to say to one another, you're my brother, you're my sister, because of what Jesus has done. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do as we go ahead with the business meeting. We ask you to give us wisdom and grace to understand the situations so that we can make an informed decision, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to be among us, be with us, and give us wisdom, and give us wonders of heart and mind to do your will and your will alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.